I haven't read the Bible, but I have it with me.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, as soon as we catch up, we're going to do the Shema.
This is just that one thing that she said. It just sounds weird. It sounds like when somebody comes in here and says something and everybody in the room goes, that's weird. I mean, that's...
Well, she said it. The reason she said it is because she'd wanted a man for centuries.
No, I was here.
But she only got girls.
Yeah. For centuries, that's amazing.
What?
Centuries of babies.
4-1.
Daughters.
At the time, by the time, let me tell you something. By the time we get down here to the mark of Cain, from Genesis 4:1 until Genesis 4:15, there will be 500,000 people on the face of the earth.
Wow.
Hundreds of years have passed. What?
What a look.
Eve had 500,000.
No.
No.
No, Genesis 1, she bared a boy, so she started getting...
She started getting... How many women can one man impregnate?
Oh, but not about Adam impregnated his own daughter?
Amen.
Go, Adam!
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Line him up.
How have a liar?
I never thought of that.
Okay. There are brothers and sisters?
But there were no other, there were another boys.
And at that time, no, it was only Adam.
And he called them the Osmonds.
But he didn't enjoy it.
He didn't enjoy it.
He was an Adam Osmond.
This Adam's job is sounding better than me.
But just remember, he's cursed.
Well, there's nothing
to say. Too bad Christ is the last Adam.
Wrong.
There wasn't wrong.
That's the only
way it could be.
Hey, it's okay with me.
You don't hear that in the church.
Well, it couldn't be incest with her in the law.
Yeah, it's all
right. They didn't know what
he just said. It explains why he was the top of his genetic order.
The other thing that the rabbis say, based on in verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, where is it? Show you something.
They didn't study this and the other.
Another question. They were doing this in the garden, right? He knew her in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But
they haven't been thrown out yet?
No, they've been thrown out of the garden.
Yeah, they've been thrown
out. No, I know that. But they had sex in the garden.
No, was she a virgin in the garden?
No.
That's not what I'm asking. I mean, why is it so important they're mentioning it here?
Okay. Because she had a son, that's the reason. Okay, in verse... Because the type couldn't be completed unless there was the son. Understand?
Yeah.
The picture couldn't come into focus unless there was a son. Okay, now, we're going to get into some kind of sophisticated Bible study stuff here, but it says, and Adam knew, where it really says, and the man knew Eve, his wife. Now, the word know there means to copulate. New means to copulate. And the fact that the man is it's a definite article in the sentence with the copulation, this rabbi said that's the first time it happened. None of the animals, nobody knew how to screw it up until this point. Adam had to teach him.
Well, how did they get that?
It's a dirty job.
Huh? It's there may be 300 years between and the man knew Eve, his wife, and the next little sentence. There's no punctuation marks. I know, but Adam is the man. Adam means the man, and it's got the definite article between before Adam in the Hebrew.
He taught the animals, or they
They watched. They followed by example. That's where there's great stories in the Talmud about it. Huh? Yeah, it's copulating 1A.
My dog.
You understand what I'm telling you? I'm telling you different stories from different sources. Do you understand?
This is sort of the sampler.
There are rabbis for thousands and thousands of years, and each one has a different view of what happens. That's why all the arguments. Okay, if I tell you about Lilith being the first Eve, and that she screwed up because part of the dust that God made her had Adam's excrement in it. Okay, that's the opinion of one school of rabbis. Now here I come along and tell you that from what I'm saying, that would have been impossible. Then you understand it's not a consistent theology. Jews never concern themselves with consistency. And when that's the danger of me telling you these kinds of stories, because you will begin to think in terms of...
Well, but it's the type, right?
Yeah, you have to see the type as opposed to see the...
Yeah.
You can't literalize this parable any more than you can literalize any of them. All right?
Tell them the naming the animal story. I like that one.
No.
It'll take all night.
They didn't find out.
Okay, and Cain had said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, in Scripture, there's three men had a passion for agriculture.
David and...
No, not David. He didn't have a passion. The three men were Cain, Noah, and Uzziah. You didn't know about it. You guys haven't studied Uzziah, because Uzziah was the one that the type of having the leprosy of the forehead, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys don't know about it.
Oh, so you went over that leprosy poop.
Still into it.
They really felt that agriculture or tilling the ground was their meat. Cain became a murderer. Noah became a drunkard. And Uzziah became a leper. Now, that sort of destroys the idea that, okay, we'd know things better if we were all
farmers
and connected with the earth.
So much for agriculture.
This doesn't look good for us gardeners.
I know.
That's interesting.
The idea then is that none of these things have any importance unless you see it as a type. A parable. I'm tired of me thinking, and I'm tired of you thinking that we'd see more if we were farmers or in agriculture. No,
yeah, I was thinking that the other day. That's what a bunch of bullshit.
Well, even the type taking care of the earth.
Right. Okay. In the process of time, it came to pass. Now, in the process of time really says at the end of time, at the end of a time. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, Rabbi Joshua says that the sacrifice, this offering that both Cain and Abel brought, was on the Feast of Passover. We've talked about that before, right? So Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, we're going to... What the majority opinion of the rabbis, the school of thought that I follow in this, is that the time between Passover and Pentecost is the critical time in which Cain and Abel were doing their fighting and their arguments. They made an offering for the first time in their lives, and from that, for that purpose, that's the first time they were alive. You understand? They made the offering on Passover, and then they lived, or Abel lived, only 50 days. And that's why the counting of the Omer is so important. We didn't study it this year, but you remember, you count the days from Passover to Pentecost. Abel was killed on the Feast of Pentecost. The offering that both of them made was on the Feast of Passover. During the intervening days, while they were counting the Omer, supposedly, and that's what they do in the Haggadah, what they were doing was arguing over who would have control of the earth. They were the two heirs to the earth. Understand? They were the only two male heirs.
And one's firstborn and the other one's not.
And one's firstborn and the other is not. Now,
Jacob and Esau in my brain.
It's the same thing.
One of the things now, that struck me in thinking about this over the past couple of days is that neither one of them had a choice about what they offered. No, they did what they did, and they only had what they had to offer.
That's not right, according to the... We could spend the rest of time studying these only scriptures. Now I'm going to say, the reason that Cain offered the curse, product of the curse, but you can't take that as the end, because in the scripture the God demands the first fruit offering, and that's in the Passover season. What they say is that he offered, since it doesn't say first fruit. He offered the fruit. Where does it say it? Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Since it doesn't say the first fruit, then what the if you really understood Hebrew, what that would mean is since he didn't offer the first fruit, but offered a lesser fruit. In other words, he consumed the first fruit, the first figs himself, and offered the inferior offering. He took to himself the primary offering and offered to God the inferior offering.
Well, that makes sense.
Would he have known that?
Well,
how would he know that if there wasn't law?
Do you understand?
Well, but I mean, it's like...
You don't literalize the parable. Do you understand?
That it was just a matter of selfishness no matter what.
No.
It says Abel brought the first of the flock. I mean, that was just what was in him. And so, obviously, God said, yay. But God down here doesn't say, oh, Cain, you shithead. It just says it wasn't accepted.
Yeah.
It's like our tithe. You know, we don't tithe on what's left after taxes taken out. We tithe on to me that's a type of the first fruit.
Okay. In other words, Cain brought, it says, he being like a bad tenant who eats the first ripe fig.
I have to tell something.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
When
Matt said that, it reminded me of my mother. She was talking to, I think it was the assistant pastor at her church, and they were talking about tithing, and she asked him if she should tithe based on percentage on her net or her gross. And he asked her, he said, well, Patsy, he said, do you want God to love you net, or do you want him to love you gross? Hilarious.
I want him to love me after taxes.
Well, anyway, Cain brought of the inferior crops. And it's like, and again, in the spirit, it's like he being a bad tenant who eats the first ripe figs but honors the king with the late figs or the late produce. Now, the lesson is, for us, is, are we truly honoring the Lord with our first fruit? What does that mean? What can we see in that? Are you a bad tenant on the land or a good tenant?
I think it's like holding on to stuff. It's like... You know, the prophecy you give is the day old prophecy that's, you know, I mean, that's one aspect of it.
Yeah, that's the part that I guess excites me most about the Nazarite. That's the stuff that's become really apparent at this point, that's how much tithe and things are doing.
Okay.
The thing that hits me about Cain is, it seems like the first thing Cain did, the first thing he did was satisfy his appetite. After his appetite was satisfied, then his thoughts turned to God.
The deal is, the question can be asked in this, could Cain have done any differently? Probably no.
Yeah.
Because what he did, that would be like asking, can a pecan tree become an orange tree? The point is that these things happen for our example, that we might see. They then, in the type, become just the tool for our revelation. Understand? That's a biggie. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, before they were born. Here we have, again, the idea of the firstborn being Cain, who has by the flesh all the rights of the primogenitor. I can't even say that word. Anyway, the firstborn. But again, he's not the one that gets it. The secondborn is. Jacob and Esau and Cain and Abel and Christ and you. Amen?
So Esau and Cain and all those people really did have a choice. I'm confused.
Nobody has a choice.
Nobody has a choice.
Nobody. There's no such thing as free will.
I know, but when I said neither one of these people had a choice about what they offered, you said that's not true. So,
no, they didn't, the offering wasn't the choice, the nature was the issue. I'm afraid that you're looking into it to try to find justice. That's why I responded like I did.
That's what I feel too. That, I mean, you're not getting the answer. I mean, it's like Christ answering the real question, and the real question is, the real answer is there's no choice whatsoever. I mean,
well, that's what I said.
Nature dictated what they did.
I know, but that's what I said. So I'm confused.
Yeah, but it's not the choice. No, no. He had a choice as to whether or not he would offer the first fruit or the second fruit or the inferior. But he didn't have a choice with regard to his nature.
Yeah.
Okay? His nature is that he would be self-seeking and keep the best for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He had a choice as to whether or not he would offer one or the other. But his nature ruled.
Yeah. Well, when I was thinking about this before, I wasn't even thinking about, first or second fruit. I was thinking, this guy's a farmer. What's he going to offer but stuff out of the cursed dirt? And this guy's a shepherd. Of course he's going to offer sheep.
Yeah, but he offered the first fruit of the flock.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I didn't know. That's
okay, that's the deal. Go to Romans 9, and this is the ancient question. This is the ancient question that has plagued mankind forever.
What is
Romans what?
Whether or not this thing is just.
Oh, all right, can I at least just say
God made, because you know, I'm reading this Kenyan book, and one of the things he said was, okay, men throughout time and across space would say to God, this is not right, this is not fair, this is not just, and that is one of the prime reasons that it was necessary for God to incarnate himself and satisfy the law himself. Is that right?
Well, it's right by that. It's right in terms of a little sliver of peace, but he misses the mystery. Okay, Romans 9 is about the Jew and the gospel. Okay, and then it talks about neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children or legitimate children, but in Isaac only shall thy seed be called. And it goes on, and verse 11 it says, for the children, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now Rebekah was Isaac's wife, remember, and who are the children of Isaac?
Jacob
and Esau. Okay, so now listen. And this is the fundamental question that we're talking about here that's plagued mankind. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, will worship, willeth do good, nor of him that runneth. In other words, abides or does anything or effort or anything, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture hath said unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now, but then it says Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he was destroyed. Why? To show the power of God. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will have, on whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? See, that was what I sensed was the, was not even consciously, but coming into the question. You know,
oh,
when you
like that God was
no,
picking on Cain or something?
Yeah, because why does he find fault if this is all he could do anyway? I mean, he just offered the best
no.
he could. No, I'm not, no, 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 hear me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it, that that's what you thought, but
yeah.
that's what could come in. That's the leaven that could come in to a hearer hearing that question. You understand?
Yeah.
Thou wilt say then to me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory in the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. There is only and ever always been either vessels of wrath or vessels of destruction. I mean, vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy.
That's one of the most clear,
clearly stated things that I've ever seen in the book. I mean, a lot of it's not near something.
All of it is.
That's right here.
All, what?
All of it's that clear.
As well.
Yeah.
Here,
Daryl. Fire bases or toilets?
Okay, back to Genesis.
He's smarter than we
are.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had, well, wait a minute, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings, or the first fruit of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, and not to his offering. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now, the word, as you know, the word sin there is sin offering. The sin offering is at the door of the tabernacle. But it's more than that. It's what the meaning of this word, that's where it says lieth, it's the same word that you would talk about if a tiger was crouched, ready to spring on something. In other words, the sin offering is ready to pursue you, ready to overtake you, ready to, at the slightest hint of acceptance or of stopping or of resting, the sin offering will overtake you. It'll pounce on you like a leopard. That's why it says in the 23rd Psalm, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's not what it says. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. So the sin offering was couching, ready to strike at the door of the tabernacle, even here at the first murder, or the first not being accepted of the offering. You understand? Okay.
Oh, so in everything that we read, it's like there's a line, there's a point, a turning point. You know, is this it right here? I mean, you know, his countenance fell, and it's like at that point, is that where
the
moment is?
Right. That moment is that mystical moment where he can go into self, into the closet, lead me not into temptation, but on the contrary, deliver me from the evil one. at that moment, that magic moment, that mystical moment is true in every scenario that you will find yourself. At every 10 billion opportunities, you have the possibility of going inward into the into this morass, this black hole, or to see the sin offering. Okay?
This is that same point where Adam and Eve, after Adam and Eve,
ate. Exactly the same. They could have said, forgive me. But no, they justified themselves. Here, he went inward. The evidence he went inward was that his countenance fell. Okay, in verse 8.
4:8.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now the word, it's not really, it's not a good, that was not a good translation.
By the way,
that means you're Cain? I know, but I find it interesting that it was not, how about those Rangers, Abel, it was...
Well, I did it the other way.
Oh.
Dyslexia, I got a reverse. I've been nailed. I've been found out.
The word is a meaning that it's in the Hebrew it means they had a, it's a legal quarrel. It's
litigation,
but it's not. It wasn't a friendly litigation. It was a legal quarrel, and it was about the dividing of the world. There was only two heirs.
No, I'm sorry. It's like there's two guys. All
right, you got friends.
Yeah, I started. I'll take you after this. Come on over.
Okay, everything on this side of the line.
Everything on this side of the line.
Oh,
what? You take the other side of the line.
I get the parking lot. Who gets Norway? I don't know.
Look for it. Tyra? Tyra? I can understand Jackie saying stuff like that, but for you to be laughing at her. What are you doing?
She's got a
sore. She got a sore and
her nose is running.
The rabbis say they took, it's an interesting deal they did, they took, one took that which was movable and the other took that which was not movable. Cool. Now you'd say, why would anyone want something that wasn't movable?
I don't understand.
Hmm?
I would only want the unmovable stuff.
No, I'm saying the other, I'm saying why would, who would want the movable stuff?
Oh yeah.
The shepherd. The shepherd and the one who knew he was like a...
No, like, what do you mean movable stuff?
Like
ocean
animals.
Land or what?
Well, things that moved. Land doesn't move. Well, trees move.
Trees move.
They
move.
Movable. Well, it could mean that. That's what probably the discussion was over. Do you understand? It was a legal discussion, and it was allegedly over who would have what. Now, so that's one school of thought says that, that once, now here's, but here's the biggie. The reason that, that was movable over unmovable is because they saw into the future. And what they said is, one said the temple would be built in his domain, and the other one said the temple would be built in his domain.
Oh, wow.
So Cain said the temple would be built in his domain. That which was physical land. And Abel said the temple would be built in his domain, that which moved, namely us, as vessels.
Ooh.
And so that's what the basic argument was about, and that same argument is going on today.
That's one.
Wow, that is wild.
I've never heard you say that.
And this is another story from one of the rabbis.
That's pretty cool.
Other rabbis say it was over a woman, Abel's twin. She was supposed to be second in beauty only to Eve. Cain claimed her because he had the right of the firstborn. Abel claimed her because she was born with him. And again, you can see a wild type in that.
Yeah. Shoot.
You know, when you first said that they were arguing over who God was, I was like, well, shit, why would they argue if they had everything? And I thought, ooh. Ooh, that sounds sort of familiar.
I think I better not say that one out loud.
God.
Oh, I just found myself out on that limb.
Yeah, really.
Sawing.
I was out on the team. Never
mind about that question.
I answered my mind. What a bitch.
And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, they were having in the field an argument, that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him. Now, the word there, rose up, it means that, it's the meaning that that Cain was on the bottom. In other words, Abel had him beat. They were fighting. It had progressed to a fist fight or to a wrestling match. And Abel was on top, was winning the fight, and Cain rose up. You know, that's the only way this word could be used. You understand? In the Hebrew. So Cain rose up. The reason it happened is because Abel led him up, and this is what the rabbis say that happened. Cain said while he was losing, "We two are the only ones in the world. What will you tell our father if you kill me?" And in a moment of remorse, Abel let him up, and then Cain slew him.
Like strangle him or just beat him up, as they say?
Well, he was killed with the rod, the shepherd's rod,
with his name.
With, huh?
You said, well, I was thinking. You said that Cain's name was like a sharp
pointed instrument
used to gouge the lamb.
But again, when we say this, when I say he was killed by those things, I mean, I can go through the Bible and answer every question that you have two or three different ways.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious.
But you understand that? So, I mean, these are schools of thought by ancient rabbis. The one that I accept is that he was killed with Abel's, he was killed with his own shepherd's staff. Because it was a type of wood. Eretz in the Hebrew means wood, or it could also mean cross. He was killed with the cross. Okay? Now, when the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?"
Forgive me. What have I done?
I'm a major fuck-up.
Fuck off, God.
And he said, and God said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Now, it's a fascinating study here that you'll never understand unless you do the kind of shit that I do. The word for blood is dam. So the word Adam or Adam means of blood. But that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here is for blood is deme, which means two or more. It's bloods. The voice of thy brother's bloods crieth unto me from the ground. Now go to Hebrews 12.
Hebrews
12. Let's start in. I want to show you something first. Mm. starting in verse 11. I want to try to get something clarified here. Again, Genesis should be the source of every aspect of the doctrine. If the doctrine, if some part of what we're about isn't in the book of Genesis, then it doesn't exist. It's a new thing. It's something that's not worth our efforts. You understand?
Yeah.
Because the word Genesis and the meaning and the purpose of this book is it's called Torah. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's five books. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's called Torah, Genesis being part of Torah, but there's no law in Genesis. Why? Because according to the rabbis, the ancients, the fathers of the faith, Abel, beginning with Abel, were the Torah made flesh. Now, that's why I insist that you become the Word incarnate, the Torah made flesh. Christ was the perfect Word incarnate, but so should you be. Started here in Genesis. If there was part of the Word incarnate that isn't revealed in Genesis, you're looking at the wrong Word. You got it? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, there is nothing that is made that was made from something that can be seen. That means that the creation by God, the act of creation, was ex nihilo. I mean, out of nothing. Now, it's impossible for philosophy to consider ex nihilo as an option.
Right.
Understand that?
In fact, also, by the way, just as an aside, that's where physics are driving them to again these days, because it turns out at the edges of a black hole, all the rules break down. So it could cough out homemade things like Earths and tractors and dogs and stuff, and it'd be perfectly probabilistically legitimate things to occur.
It could cough up at the edge of space, at the edge of creation, at the moment between, the mathematical moment between soul and spirit, it could cough up a savior. I mean, that, which is what happened. Anyway, that's another. Through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith. Now here we have the first act of faith, so it's got to be important. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain.
And that's because it was the first, his first impulse?
His first fruit, his first offering of a flock, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, doth yet speak. Now, and a little farther on, and I can't find it at this moment, but God calls Abel a prophet. Understand?
By talking up to the voice of the blood.
Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Now, go over to Hebrews 12 now. So you see that something connected with Abel here was the first act of faith other than creation itself. Okay? The first act of faith by a man that's recorded. Cost him his life. Can you understand that? An act of faith will always cost you your life. An act of faith always has to produce death in you. You understand? If you could hear that, you will simplify the rest of your life. You will see clearly. Faith without death is impossible. That's why I'm so furious at these merchants of Canaan on television and radio in God's name. Am I communicating?
Mm-hmm.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the moment of faith must be moment by moment. In other words, it's not something, faith can never be a noun. You understand? The English language and modern theology has made faith a noun. You understand?
Right.
Faith can only be a verb. It's only action. It's impossible for it to be a noun. And if it's impossible for it to be a noun, and if it's an action verb, and if it costs you your life, then every time that you're not in faith, you're not neutral, you're total enemy of faith. You can either be in faith or a total enemy of faith. There's no other place. That's why you can be a brand new believer and be in faith more than someone that's been a believer for, thinks he's been a believer for 40 years.
Yeah.
The brand new believer always is at risk.
Yeah.
It risks everything. The act of speaking, the act of prophesying risks everything. It especially risks the thing that you desire. Mm-hmm. That's where the real test is for you in faith. It's really important that we see this, that Abel was the first picture, the living picture, the moving picture that we have of faith. Now these things that I'm saying to you, they're nowhere.
No, Abel and Cain are just cartoon guys.
My brother's keeper. That's the one people know.
This murder is exactly the same thing as the cross.
Amen. It is the cross.
So what does it mean by blood's plural?
Okay. That's what I'm trying to get to. In Hebrews 12, verse 18.
Hebrews what?
12:18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart or a spear. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But, instead of all that, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, the word blood in Genesis 4:8 is bloods. And what it is, it's the blood of all of the prophets that have ever been and will ever be. The blood of the prophets is crying or shrieking unto God. It's the blood of the saints, if you will. The blood of the prophets, the blood of the saints is shrieking unto God. And it's shrieking unto God in your earth. It's the shriek. It's a terrible word in the Hebrew that I cannot pronounce. But it means a shrieking, a shrill shrieking, crying. And it's crying unto you in your earth. Prophesy. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What this means is, the Holy Spirit is in you and he's shaking you, just like he's shaking and will shake the earth, so that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Now, that's the purpose of preaching. Preaching and the Holy Spirit must come to the same, and there will be two witnesses then. The Holy Spirit in providence will witness with the word of the cross, and it will shake you to your toes and below. It'll shake you to the point of bone and marrow. And sometimes you won't even know why. Sometimes you will know that something is happening, but I can't. I mean, there's this. Well, when you have that, it's the voice of Abel, the blood of Abel crying out in your earth. It's not something that's a choice. The blood of Abel isn't crying in some earths and not in others. The blood of Abel is crying out in all earthen vessels. It doesn't matter whether they contain their vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy. None of this is negotiable. We're back to that. Understand?
Does it say, I know he was killed, but was he the first person to die?
Well, that's again a big debate. Some people say that Eve had died just before this, so that, and I probably think that happened, because,
so she didn't have to see why her son's murdered?
Yeah.
But
in the spirit, so that the harlot had to be, the type of the harlot had to be destroyed before the bride could appear, the first part of the bride, which is Abel, Abel's blood.
This is sort of like the baptism of Christ, where in his baptism it was finished.
Yeah.
So when Abel's blood was spilled, the blood of all the prophets, the blood of all the martyrs, the blood of all the saints was spilled then.
Yeah.
In him. And it's all in us now,
right,
that we spill and try to bury him.
Right.
I keep thinking about that story you told about the blood coming up out of the floor of the temple where the guy was slain on the altar.
Yeah.
Out of the rock.
You know about that one? Have we studied that in here?
Yeah, we studied
that. Those finely chiseled rocks, you can get a hair through and their blood coming out.
Bubbling out like a spring.
Prophesying out of the rock.
Well, we didn't make it a whole long way because I think we were right here when we quit Sunday night.
No, we got past being slewed. I mean, when he's
smooth. Smooth. Well, that only feels much better now.
Are we at least in the week we're supposed to be on?
Oh, no. Hell no.
We're a month behind.
We're a month behind.
Oh, goodness.
Really, this happened. They're so far.
Know, we're diligent, kind of. Really care.
However, I imagine when the old TV movie thing collapses, we'll probably have a lot of time for this.
We're diligent in a backwards ass kind of way.
Yeah.
Or he is, anyway.
See, I mean, if I didn't think you guys were interested in this stuff, then we wouldn't study it.
Well, what if the next time the snobs like Doug and everybody start carrying on about how far they are, we'll ask them some questions like, is it Abel's blood or bloods?
Well, no, you could probably figure out some. You guys could probably figure out some interesting questions to ask the smart asses.
Well, easily.
We need to know. As long as we kind of sort of can catch up eventually, so you know what Christ is doing during.
We will.
What do you mean I've got the net?
What does it mean? And Adam knew.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of your podcast.
That's the only one though.
No, no, the Adam, the man knew.
The man knew, yeah.
The man.
You remember your pop quiz?
Oh, God, that was just terrible.
Whoa, I don't even know the answer to that. Why was it the man?
Why did it say the man knew?
Because there still wasn't another, besides himself, another man.
It would be the dirt one.
They didn't know what copulation was.
They
had to teach. Adam and Eve had to teach the animals how to screw.
Well, how did Adam and Eve find out? It's like, stranger.
You're the. You got this alone,
Eve. I don't know what to.
They were wrestling one.
Not in there. Oh my God.
And they got stuck.
and they were facing. Opposite directions, and God had to throw water on them.
Okay, take a big guy.
They were in God's front lawn.
He threw water.